Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Any of our guys can get recognition. That, you know, we're excited about it as an organization, and it's well-deserved. They're good players. They're impact players, not only for us, but for the league, too, in general. And so it's always a good thing when our guys can get recognized.
That is the temporary head coach, Mike Brown, talking about the all-NBA selections that came out. No Golden State Warrior on the first team. 67 victories, no first-teamers. Up in 15 minutes, Raiders to Las Vegas took a small but significant step forward yesterday. We'll get into that. Joe Lowe and Dibs, Dan Dibley in the Joe Fortenbaugh seat. Kerry Keating, former head coach of Santa Clara, joining us this morning. Gentlemen, the all-NBA teams are out. First team, unanimous, James Harden receiving 99 of 100 votes. LeBron James and Russell Westbrook. Kawhi Leonard somehow gets 96 of 100 first-place votes. And then Anthony Davis voted in as the center with 45 of 100 first-place votes. No Golden State Warrior on the all-NBA first team. Kerry, am I picking nits at this? Is this a significant snub? How am I supposed to receive the fact that the Warriors have the best record in the NBA, 67 victories, yet don't have a first-teamer?
Being a Warrior homer, if you will, having obviously covered the team all year, if you're not going to put Clay on one of the three teams and you're going to split hairs and not choose your favorite son between KD and Steph, I'm personally putting Draymond on first team. I think for the people that really pay attention to this team's success, they know how valuable he is. And based on most valuable player type voting in all NBA, I think Draymond deserves a first team. But no, I don't think you're nitpicking at all. And there are a couple guys that would agree with you and have some gripes. I mean, I'm not a huge Gobert fan. DeAndre Jordan can't make two free throws in a row. I mean, Karl Anthony Towns has a gripe. How about this? Vindication in the form of possibly Kyrie and Klay trying to prove that they got snubbed in the finals and lead their team to an NBA title.
Neither Kyrie nor Klay named to either of the first three teams, both in the also receiving votes category. Second team is Giannis Antetokounmpo. Anna, please. We're going to go
Giannis
to the bullpen.
Giannis Antetokounmpo.
Go to the bullpen early for Giannis Antetokounmpo. I get locked up in the middle with the
Just say freak.
I like to try, though, Kerry. I like to do radio without a net, but when I need help, I will go to my homegirl, Anna Kagadakis. So leading off the second team, Anna, is who?
Giannis Antetokounmpo.
Thank you. Kevin Durant, Rudy Gobert. I got Gobert down. I know it's not Gobert, people. It's Go-Gurt. It was the yogurt treat for kids. Steph Curry and Isaiah Thomas. Third team, Draymond Green, Jimmy Butler, DeAndre Jordan, John Wall, and DeMar DeRozan. No Klay Thompson, Kerry. Guy averages more than 20 points a game, yet can't scratch the surface of these three all-NBA teams. Is it time for us to stop voting for the center position? Because to me, that seems to be the big problem here. You've got Gobert, Davis, and DeAndre Jordan, who all get all-NBA status simply because they play a position where that's not that important.
I think in this day and age, I mean, when you call LeBron James a point guard, probably not by this year or this term of what a point guard actually is, but he actually is a point guard. But you wouldn't – now, by the way, CP3, I mean, if you don't go by positions, I agree with you, Dibs, go by the best players. And DeAndre Jordan is nothing without CP3, period, end of story. And he's definitely one of the 15 best players in the league.
And Chris Paul was the second highest among also receiving votes. Karl Anthony Towns, Chris Paul, Mark Gasol. You got to go pretty far down low before you even get to Klay Thompson. Klay Thompson sandwiched between Kyrie Irving and Nikolai Jokic. Low, is this the kind of thing that a pro athlete will use, this sort of snub, as motivation? Can the Warriors use this to their advantage tomorrow night in San Antonio somehow.
You have to, and I think that Klay Thompson will. Klay Thompson knows he's an all-star. And you look at KD. KD missed a lot of games this year, you know, with the injury. And, you know, he was going to share time, him and Steph, so didn't have the dominant scoring like you usually see, but they're still a better team with KD. I just think it's hard to, when you look at the forwards, Kawhi Leonard, LeBron James. I don't think they got it wrong. I don't know if you guys think that they got it wrong. Maybe, you know, maybe Steph over Harden. I don't know. You guys thought, everyone said that Harden and Westbrook is up for the MVP. So could you put Steph in front of those guys this year? I mean, I know he could be MVP every year. He's still the best three-point shooter that ever played the game. But those two guys that are at that point guard position, Westbrook, Dibs, you've been saying he's your MVP. Harden, you know, James Harden during the season, they were going head-to-head and, you know, really scored a lot of points, did a lot for their ball club. So I don't know if this is a slide on those guys. And, Anthony, you got to have the center. I mean, that position, you know, guys, it used to be the staple, the mainstay of the NBA. And just because now where the league has changed, those guys, it's changed a little bit. So now people say, the center is gone. And I get that. But still, I think that, you know, as a former fullback, you know, that's a position that doesn't get a lot of love. Sometimes you got to continue to have those positions
nice.
In there.
I like that, Lowe. I like that. You brought that home for me.
I was coming. I was taking it. I was going. I was following me.
I think Steph is taking the brunt of his past success and the current roster more than anyone else.
Sure.
Because I'm, for one, hoping he just keeps on this current run he's on and then, you know, go home and smile at the family, go shoot a 69 and core on the golf course, and as they say in Gilroy, I'll smell you when the wind shifts. It's all about winning, man. I mean, we got a Hall of Famer in here who understands team first, you know, all NBA teams, and we're obviously going to talk about the implications this has financially on some guys eventually,
yeah.
Which is crazy in itself, but you know what, this is nice, it's great, it's a team sport.
Let's get to that, Kerry, because Paul George of Indiana looking at free agency, and if he would have made one of the three all-NBA teams, he would have been in line for a max contract, but he's not on the first, second, or third team. In fact, among those also receiving votes, he finished in fifth place behind DeMarcus Cousins, slightly ahead of Gordon Hayward, another individual who's in the same boat. You say it's all about the team accolades, Kerry, but Paul George in line to miss out on as much as $70 million.
In a weird way, Gordon Hayward is affected, and Utah's affected by this more. But what this has become is, and I know Paul George, having had him commit to us at Santa Clara before he eventually went to Fresno State via Pepperdine.
Smart man.
Hey, we still beat him head-to-head, though. Shout out to Paul. He's a good kid. And but you know what? Utah has a chance to take a big step, albeit in the West, against some pretty formidable opponents, obviously the Warriors being the top of that heap and the Spurs. But you're talking about $36 million difference. At what point is $36 million, $200 million, $170 million? I mean, Paul seems to be the one being made out to worry about that money and that contract, whereas Gordon Hayward is not.
Yeah.
And Utah is going to take the brunt of that if Hayward ends up leaving.
And it's really an interesting question because $30 million is an astronomical amount of money. And Lo, when you're a pro athlete and you've got this kind of deal on the table, would you want to have voters of an all-NBA team determining how much money you could potentially make?
Hell no. This is crazy. I mean, this is crazy. This is a stupid rule. I mean, how are you going to let these people dictate the kind of money you can make? Well, I'll tell you right now, $30 million, $70 million, that's a lot of money. And I know Paul George and a lot of these guys got to be disappointed that because of voters can have that type of control over their well-being and their families. I think that's pretty interesting dynamics how it's set up like that. But $70 million is a lot of money, Dibs. But I'll tell you, these basketball contracts are just, to me, just absurd. Baseball, all these contracts, when you look at them, and they're guaranteed. My goodness, but I know these players, they're definitely disappointed because now that's a lot of money, $70 million over a contract.
Paul George and Gordon Hayward missing out on possible massive bounties. Instead, they're just going to have to settle for being filthy rich.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Poor guys. I'm sure.
Poor guys.
You know, Gordon Hayward, I don't know how he's going to gut it out, Coach, with just making eight figures. Well, the Raiders are trying to gut it out, the era in Oakland, and get to Las Vegas. Will they have a stadium in Vegas before the Rams and Chargers have one in L.A.? We'll kick that around next. Kerry Keating is in for Joe Fortenbaugh. It's Joe Lowe and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
Now, back to Joe, Lowe, and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
Welcome back, Joe, Lowe, and Dibs. Joe Fortenbaugh enjoying some R&R today. Kerry Keating in his place. You heard it up in 15 minutes. Antonio Davis, 13-year NBA veteran. Shout out, Oakland, California. He'll join us. We'll get his thoughts on these NBA playoffs and the all-NBA teams that were recently released. But the good news, Lowe, the good news coming out of Las Vegas, the Stadium Authority unanimously approving a conditional lease agreement for the Oakland Raiders, helping to avoid any possible delays on the team's relocation. So things look to be still in place going forward for the Raiders to hopefully open up their new stadium by the 2020 season in Las Vegas. What do you make of this news that came across the wire?
Well, I think it's great news that the Raiders are going to be looking forward to moving to their new home. I still don't think it's going to be done in 2020. I think it's going to be a little late, but you got to realize you got to factor in some flaws. Something's going to go down that's going to push it back. So I think it's going to be done by 2021.
Mark Padain quoted yesterday saying they are going to the league meetings in Chicago with a lease, and hopefully they'll get it approved and stay on pace for a 2020 opening. I know what you're saying. Construction delays are a part of almost every project, whether it's my kitchen, my half bathroom, or the Raiders' new stadium.
Yeah, well, you talked about it. And look in L.A. L.A. and the Chargers. Both that in that place down there, kind of right now, reeling. They're thinking it pushed it back a little bit too. There that date as well.
Yeah, the Chargers, due to bad weather, will have the Chargers and Rams stadium is going to be pushed back. They say now the opening of that. But Kerry, looking at this move to Las Vegas, it was approved by a 31-1 vote at the league owners meeting back in March. The league going to vote again on Monday. They've got their spring meetings coming up, and they have to ratify this lease deal to clear the way for the Raiders to move to Las Vegas. As a coach, what are some of the things that you would be concerned about having your team relocate anywhere, let alone to Las Vegas?
Well, I think given the fact that it's Vegas, it's all the temptation that's there. And if you're a family man and you're a part of the Raiders organization, is that where you want your family to live? It's different. It's an interesting spot. I always wondered what the UNLV coaches would do, obviously being a college coach, and how they would handle that with young college kids. But you do need a little bit of money to get into trouble in Vegas, too. Even though you don't, you kind of do. The only thing that happens for me in 2021 is whoever's left hanging out with me at my 50th birthday and we go to Vegas is going to now have another offering besides the rehab on Sundays. Yeah, you know, I think I'll go check out the Raiders. I ain't seen a football game in forever. And, you know, we only turned 50 once. So.
Sure.
You know, it's my concern, and again, I'm coming into this to learn more about football, and hopefully, and I was going to ask you, I slowed this, how much longer is football going to last as a sport at this current rate? And I'm sure that's a deep topic, obviously, for you and what all these guys are going through.
Oh, no question.
They have gone through. And I just don't know, from a coaching standpoint, how it will affect the product. I'm more concerned with, is Derek Carr going to sign long-term? Are we going to make him a cornerstone no matter where we're playing, here, there, Vegas, wherever? Is the product going to be good enough to be sustainable wherever it's at, especially Vegas?
Well, you coach, you know, Coach Keaton, you were coach many years. And well, how will you look at when the athletes, you don't want to be necessarily, you know, you're an extension of their parents, especially when they're in college. But now these are now no longer college students. They are pro athletes with a lot of money. The temptations and the distractions there. How would you go about trying to keep them focused for the task that's at hand?
I think from a professional organization standpoint, the burden falls on Reggie in the front office now to draft a mentality. In the similar vein that the Warriors have established a culture through their acquisitions, I think the burden now falls, if this Vegas thing comes to fruition, and that's where the Raiders are, no matter which part of the team lives in Vegas and resides there, you have to get the right culture coming in so that the coach can cultivate that, in the sense where the coach can stay focused on the field and not off the field. And that's a very, very difficult task anywhere, let alone now the allure of what happens in Vegas. So I think that falls back to the front office to make sure through their trades, their free agency, their draft, they're getting the right guys.
And they have the right guy at quarterback, which is the key piece to all of this. If you go to Las Vegas and you're looking for a locker room leader, somebody who's going to make the right choices off the field as well as on, you've got Derek Carr. Yesterday on the JT the Brick program, the general manager Reggie McKenzie appeared, and he talked about prioritizing keeping Derek Carr.
The only thing that comes to my thought with Derek Carr is I want Derek Carr to be a Raider for his career. So that's the only thing that comes to mind, and we'll get it done.
Lo, any doubt that they're going to get this thing done? Reggie went on to say in the interview with Brick that Derek wants to be a Raider. They want him to be on the team as well, obviously. Should there be any obstacles to this deal getting done?
Yeah. M-O-N-E-Y, money. that's why they're even contemplating. Come on, if they wanted the deal to be done yesterday, it would have been. But if Derek wanted to be done yesterday, probably wouldn't, because you know what he wants, and it's a lot of money. And it behooves the Raiders to make sure that this guy, they overpay a little bit for Carr because of the things that he brings, the unmutables, the unchangeables, his way of life, his thought process, his leadership, his ability to get guys to come in offseason. Hell, this was a guy that Michael Crabtree everyone thought was a trouble receiver. You know what he did, Coach? This guy got all these receivers to come into Bakersfield, middle of cow country, and come in for a couple of days and throw the ball around, go through practice, and got those guys to buy into what he's selling and what he's preaching, and that's trying to win a championship. So to overpay for a guy like that, because you can't find those type of guys. Those type of guys don't come around often.
I was going to take advantage of my time in the studio with Lo and digest a little bit.
I love it.
Yes,
I love a digestion.
Talk to me about, if you can, we may not have time now, but we certainly have plenty of time this morning, the mentality of players around a one guy who commands all the respect, the attention, the protection, and the M-O-N-E-Y.
You know what? It really transcends a ball club. I was fortunate enough to be around a guy, LaDainian Tomlinson, who's going to Hall of Fame this year, that every year he would come in and talk about the inner man, and he would read a poem every single year. And it was just about who you are, the inner man, how are you starting, ups, downs, ebb and flow of life. And it was a very deep poem, and he always would read it. The coach, that's how he wanted to start training camp, to let guys, and after training camp was over, then the guys, the 53-man rosters, that's the 53 that he would read it to. And the coaching staff is talking about the purpose, the journey, the inner man is always tugging at you to say, how do you become great? How do you set yourself apart? So when you're around guys like that, played with the Ray Lewis's, played with, Kitten, different guys that had a sphere of influence, but also could go out and actually elevate their game, the Drew Brees, the Phillip Rivers, it makes you want to work harder. It makes you, when you're around them, instead of joking around, you're a little bit more serious at times because you know what they're about. And those guys don't come around often.
Dibs, I'm good. Get Joe back in here. I'm
that's good
I
stuff.
I got everything I needed out of this morning.
That's great stuff. I look forward to the induction ceremony in August in Canton. That's going to be an unbelievable weekend for you and for LT, for all Chargers fans and all football fans, really.
Sure. I'm excited about that too, Dibs. Really am. Can't wait. Can't wait.
Look forward to it. It's going to be great being out there in Ohio with you, Lo, and coattailing you.
I can appreciate
every
that.
Step of the way.
Oh, I mean, you're going to get crazy, Dibs. We're going to get crazy, crazy, crazy.
Are we doing a show from there?
We hope
Actually,
we are.
Yeah,
we
no,
got big
coach,
designs
like,
on the coach.
How many more is I got to put in to get an invitation? Because I
your
got
chances,
time
Coach.
Now.
Exactly.
You got the free time. I love it. Coming up in 5 minutes, Antonio Davis, 13-year NBA veteran, ESPN analyst. We'll get his thoughts on the playoffs and this whole idea of a super team. Joe Fortenbaugh's off today. Kerry Keating is in. It's Joe, Lo, and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
Now back to Joe, Lo, and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
Well, without any further ado, let's bring him in, the pride of Oakland. The man who played on the team with which my wife fell in love with the sport of basketball, the Indiana Pacers, Antonio Davis joining us on 95.7 The Game. One of the Davis brothers, I got to thank you. You and Reggie, the Duncan Dutchman, little Travis Best running a gritty little point spot. It was a great run, Antonio. Even out here in the Bay, we respected the game.
Yeah, I appreciate it, man. How you guys doing this morning?
We're doing great. It's just another one of those days in the Bay. You remember it. It's awful out. Yeah. It's probably 71 degrees, a light, gentle zephyr blowing in from the west. Things couldn't be better here, Tone.
I hear you, man. I hear you. You know, the Warriors bringing all the sun and all the heat, so it's all good, you know?
Now, is it too much heat and too much sunshine for the basketball nation? Because out here, we are immersed in this era of the Big Four, and it feels like Title Town, but I understand there are some markets out there and some fans that think this super team idea is bad for the NBA. What do you think about the current state with two teams really more powerful than the rest?
Well, you know, at some point in time, you know, that super team became something because everybody worked at it. It wasn't like you're talking number one picks in the draft, number two picks in the draft. You know, Steph was, I think, 7. Draymond was late. So I don't understand, you know, this whole super team thing. You have to account for the fact that these guys have worked hard to get to this point. Give Golden State a lot of credit for seeing talent in guys and picking them at whatever, you know, whatever spot they picked them at. And as far as it being bad for the game, I don't know that success is bad. You know, any kind of success at this point in time with the way things are going now, I think it's going to be good.
Antonio, let me ask you about your feelings on this new CBA and the new structure for the Supermax player. And in your estimation, being a veteran and a respected one, how much money is really enough, and when do you think winning becomes more important than market value for these guys with the absurdity in some of the values of these contracts now?
Well, you know, the only thing I say about the money, as far as I'm concerned, is I don't want to take away from guys making as much money as they can. You know, I'm a union guy at heart. I've always been, and I've always fought for what I thought was fair. I think the Players Association is doing a great job at trying to do things to change the way that you know, former, current players are viewed, and doing something to help. You know the new health insurance plan is awesome. The only thing I'll say, like I started to say, is the way by which the money is coming into the system. And then do we really need to take all of that money and it be given to players? Because like you say, how much is enough? And does it really are you really getting a player for that value? Or is it just because we have to spend this money, so we have to get this particular player? So I don't know if anything will change. I do hate it when I hear people say, well, man, this guy made all this money, he's not worth it. Well, I mean, it's just what the system is putting out right now. I mean, those guys who are being born in this era is really reaping the benefits of a lot of, you know, players that have come before them, and it's just what the game is today.
Couldn't agree with you more, brother. I was disappointed. You know, I see that I paved the way in NFL, and now I see these contracts, fullbacks getting $25 million. Those days wasn't heard of. But you guys got the guaranteed contracts, bro. That's the thing that just kill us, man. But
I wish that they would fight, you know, for that. And I understood at some point in time they were fighting. I think it's the one thing that, you know, we held on to throughout our struggles that I'm most proud of is just those guaranteed contracts. Even if we had to give up some of the years and the length of the contract, keeping that was huge.
No question. Hey, I just love that you're a family man. Always see you and your daughter and watching the way she plays. It's great to see a dad's just so involved in their kid's life. I appreciate that. When you look at...
Man.
Oh, no, you're welcome. When you look at this course that everyone's talking about, the Cavs and the Dubs, what realistic chance, all things being equal, do you give LeBron? And how great of a feat, if they were to pull this upset, what would this do for his legacy?
Oh, man, you know, he is showing me more and more each and every time I see him play, the confidence by which he's playing. The efficiency by which he's playing. And when you talk about making guys around you better, I think this guy really does it on both ends of the floor. You do it, I think the first thing you do in that situation is you play the best basketball you can play. You put a lot of pressure on the defense. You guard multiple positions so that, you know, if you need to hide a guy defensively, you can hide a guy. And he becomes the X factor in all this. You talk about pulling off an upset. It's really going to depend on him, you know, like last year, making a play that only he can make, or having a game that he can only have. So I think, and then I think that's crucial. I think Iguodala needs to get healthy. You know, I think he really needs to get healthy because he does a phenomenal job at least, you know, slowing LeBron down. So I think that is something that I'm kind of keeping my eye on.
All right, AD, who wins the alumni game between Oakland High and McClymans?
Come on, man. I'll ask some questions like that. You can have Dame and all of them come back. It's going to be on.
A lot of pride in Oaktown.
And you know GP's got something to say up at Skyline, too. You know, don't leave Skyline out of the conversation, Kerry.
GP's going to have a lot to say. You know,
he always got a lot to say, though.
Even J. Kidd going to have something to say, but he ain't got enough arsenal. He ain't got enough going on over there. You know what I'm saying?
Shout out St. Joe's in Alameda.
Exactly.
Antonio Davis joining us here on 95.7 The Game. Antonio, I wanted to ask you about the LeVar Ball nonstop, I would say diarrhea of the mouth, but I don't like to say that on the radio. What do you think about the way he's put himself in front of his kid, and how do you think his son is going to do once he gets into the association?
That's the unfair part, man. You're not even giving your son a chance. I mean, I tweeted the other day, had the kids said anything? Have they said, this is what I want, this is my dream, I don't think they've had an individual thought yet. You know, it's been all about what he's want since they were born, and even before they were born. I saw this woman, and, you know, I knew she was going to be the mom of my kids, and I was going to have boys, and blah, blah, blah. You know, it's kind of crazy. I want to applaud the guy, too. I love a guy that's, you know, just like my man said, that's in tune with his kids, supporting his kids and being there. But at some point in time, you got to make sure that you're doing everything to support and build them up, not put obstacles there, not put unrealistic expectations. Give them a chance to flourish. And I think that's the one thing that I don't like that LeVar is doing is he's putting these roadblocks and stumbling blocks ahead of his kids before they've even had a chance to, you know, play a minute in the NBA or gain any kind of momentum. I think the crazy thing is if he goes to the Lakers and he becomes a phenomenal player, this could work out.
Yeah.
For some crazy reason, it could work out. But to me, it won't last. It's just one of those things where if you're not high character, if you're not humble, then I don't think that there's any way that you can have long-time success in the NBA.
The 82 games will expose somebody who's not sold out to be a part of it. Antonio Davis, thanks for joining us. Enjoy these playoffs. Hopefully we get a chance to talk to you before it's over, and appreciate you joining us.
Anytime, man. You guys have a blessed day. Talk to you soon.
Now back to Joe, Low, and Dibs on 95.7 The Game. Now back to Joe, Low, and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
Talking about super teams and Cavs, Warriors, and Low's right. The road's been a lot easier for these teams. Neither one of them's going to have to go 7. Heck, they might both be 12-0 when it comes time to contest the NBA Finals. If you think about Lakers and Celtics and you go back in time to the year you were mentioning, 86-87, the Celtics had on their team 5 Hall of Famers. Neither the Cavs nor the Warriors have 5 Hall of Famers. And granted, Bill Walton is included in that group. He was at the end of his career, and he's a Hall of Famer for college more than he is for his pro career, certainly. But he's a Hall of Famer nonetheless.
Well, here, stop the press now, because there's a chance that the Dubs has 4 Hall of Famers. KD, possibly going to be Hall of Famer. He might already
He's
be.
A lock.
Okay. Steph.
Lock. He's a lock.
Draymond.
He's trending.
That's what's trending.
Anna does what's trending, but he's trending toward the Hall of Fame.
And Clay.
Also trending.
That's my, so pretty good.
You're right. So Boston had 5. Larry Bird, Dennis Johnson, rest in peace, who young people look up tape of a DJ, the consummate point guard, the two-way point guard coach, a guy who would defend,
the brother with
distribute.
The brother with the freckles.
He had a freckle or two, coach. Blake Griffin's got freckles. What's it to you? Blake Griffin can't handle like DJ.
Stole the ball. No.
Stolen by DJ.
And he stole the ball.
It's my Johnny Most. Big Johnny Most fan. Kevin McHale, Robert Parrish, and of course, Bill Walton. On the Lakers side, they had 3 Hall of Famers, Kareem, Magic, and Worthy. You look at Cleveland right now, coach, And I say coach to both of you because that's what we do here, coach.
Everybody's a coach.
Coach, Cleveland's only got two Hall of Famers, by my eye. LeBron James, and you put Kyrie Irving there. He, I think, is trending toward Hall of Fame. But Richard Jefferson, Kyle Korver, Deron Williams, these are not Hall of Famers. So as much as people want to talk about super teams, in the 87 finals, Lakers versus Celtics, they had eight. And this year, at the most, they'll only have six.
Yeah, you're right when you come in. And Kyrie, I don't think he's more trending more than Clay. I don't think he's more trending than Draymond. So you're right. When you look at it in that regard, the Cavs pretty much have one guy that you know is undoubtedly a Hall of Famer. And the Dubs look like they have pretty, I would say, three that I think is right now Hall of Famer, but possibly four. So it's interesting when you think about it, when you put it in that perspective, that how many more Hall of Famers possibly do the Dubs have. And that's why this team, to me, is as dominant as. And you got to give this organization, though, because you think about the three guys that are trending that you're talking about, they all are homegrown. It wasn't like they went out and got them in free agency or acquired them through trades. These are guys that the front office did a great job getting in. The only Hall of Famers they brought in is KD.
I think nowadays, and we're finding this out firsthand with the Spurs without Kawhi Leonard, the game has shifted and been altered to an offensive, free up the movement, no real true toughness in terms of physicality, protect guys. And I get that. What it's led to is you can have a one-man team. You can have a one-man team with a supporting cast of guys that have made the NBA, and you draft the right mentality, put it around. That's what the Spurs are kind of doing with some guys like Tony Parker, Hall of Famer, Gasol, you know, Manu. But LeBron and now Steph, and now you add KD. But the best players on the best teams, 95 times out of 100, are going to be the ones playing for the NBA championship because it's a five-man-at-a-time sport. It's very different than 11 guys on both sides of the ball. It's very different than a dominant pitcher or a dominant lineup. It's very different than a singular golfer and a great caddy. It's different than the individual sports, whether you're talking about tennis or, gosh, it's a great athletically gifted, connected to the fans game that one guy can dominate. So we talk about super teams and Hall of Famers, but at the end of the day, who is it centered around? Magic Johnson, Larry Bird, Isaiah Thomas, Michael Jordan, LeBron James, Steph Curry, and then everything else kind of falls in place given the state of the game and what's happening now, as we talked about with the collective bargaining agreement now. You're able to do this and add guys. Now we have the Kevin Durant rule where the media can vote you on one of the top three teams and a team can pay you more. So the league is using the financial incentive
sure.
to keep guys in place to stop a quote-unquote super team from happening. But is it going to have an adverse effect on the mentality of the rest of the product besides the top two teams standing? Because guys, essentially, Gordon Hayward, great example. By all accounts, seems like the poster child type player for the NBA. Could have a single-team career a la Stockton and Malone in Utah. Just happens to be at Utah. Will he take the money from somebody else, or would he have just said, no, I'm staying in Utah, if it was another $30 million because now 100 people voted him on a team that probably 50 of them didn't see even half his games.
Right, sure. Or even a tenth of his games.
This is great. You know what? This is why I want to get into radio.
Yeah.
I ain't losing games, coaches. We're just talking about how it all works. So as long as I keep doing it, we get to keep talking about it.
You're absolutely right. I'm going to digest a little bit and go back, if I can, Coach Caden, ask you a question. Is Iguodala, looking at the text line, you know, from the 925, saying, is Iggy a Hall of Famer in your opinion?
Gosh, that's really hard to quantify. I mean, I don't know how you quantify how Hall of Famers become Hall of Famers in basketball now because of all these circumstances that guys like Iggy have come up in. He's had a huge impact, and especially in Steve's mind, making him a captain on this team at the beginning of the season as a sixth man, and you're seeing his value. I don't know if he can quantify himself being a Hall of Famer, and it seems like he wants to be more of a Hall of Fame venture capitalist at this point as it is anyway. So obviously it's not important to him, but yeah, and in all power to him, and it's the right thing to do. But I don't know. I don't know if he can say he is, and I don't know if he'll have enough time to put in with this team to make himself and his prior career as a whole a Hall of Fame type career. But you know what? If he did, it'd make for good argument.
888-957-9570 if you want to weigh in on that question. That's a great text from the 510 or the 925 on is Andre. I didn't even consider Andre Iguodala for the Hall of Fame. Right. I don't think he's in the Hall of Fame. And he's a obviously a much better version of Robert Horry. Robert Horry, a guy with five titles. He's not in the Hall of Fame. He had a nice pro career. Iguodala's stats are better. He defends better. He probably won't have the same success that Horry had, certainly winning all those championships. But it's an interesting notion because in basketball, unlike football, which is the Pro Football Hall of Fame, baseball obviously accounts for Major League Baseball. What you do in other leagues doesn't really matter. But in basketball, it's the Basketball Hall of Fame. So certainly what Andre Iguodala did in college, Arizona State, I believe.
Arizona,
yep. My mistake. I was confusing him with Ike Diagu, I believe. Ooh. Shout out to the Pac-12. 888-957-9570 if you want to weigh in on that question. Gentlemen, the all-NBA teams are out. You alluded to it before, Kerry, with the votes coming in. And no Warrior on the first team. It's LeBron James, Kawhi Leonard, Anthony Davis, James Harden, and Russell Westbrook is your first team all-NBA. KD, Kevin Durant, and Steph Curry both make the second team. Kevin Durant received 3 votes for first team. Steph Curry received 1 vote for the all-NBA first team. Third team, Draymond Green. Klay Thompson is among those also receiving votes. He did not make any of the top 3 teams. My question for you, Kerry, if I gave you a choice, you can either have the Golden State Warriors, KD, Steph, Klay, Dre, Andre Iguodala, etc. I'll even give you James Michael McAdoo. You get Kevon Looney, Damian Jones, you get them all. Do you want the Warriors team, or would you rather take the all-NBA first team? LeBron James, Kawhi Leonard, Anthony Davis, James Harden, and Russell Westbrook. Who wins a best-of-7 series? The all-NBA first team or your Golden State Warriors? 888-957-9570 if you want to weigh in on that as well.
I was going to say I'll trade, all due respect to Zaza and how important he is, I was going to trade Zaza for Karl Anthony Towns and the 4 Warriors, and I would take those 5 over the first team in a best-of-7 series.
Lo, do we allow him to make that trade? I know it's a little bit one-sided for the Warriors getting Karl Anthony Towns while giving up only Zaza. Lo, do we allow him to make that trade and complete his team with Karl Anthony Towns?
We got to let Coach done a great job. He brought us donuts. I mean, Coach Kerry is the best, man. So let's let him make that trade. And I think that they still go there. I know that
the Warriors go down.
It'll be a hell of a series. If you let now, here's the thing: if they just play tomorrow, Dubs motorboat them because they got the rhythm. They already together. The team knows. Thanks for the motorboat.
You're welcome. Really best of 7, Lo. If it's a best of 7 series,
now if you let both teams practice and get it going, this I think the number 1 team. We'll let our listeners weigh in, but I really believe that Kawhi Leonard can guard anyone. LeBron can guard anyone, and then Anthony Davis. Come on, the guy is a beast. The only liability, James Harden can't play defense.
Yeah, can't play defense at all. Are you concerned that the ball is not going to get shared enough here? Because Russ is going to. If you inbound it to Russ, you might as well not run down the floor.
Well, I think the KD and I think that Kawhi Leonard and LeBron would have something to say, and I think that he would buy into those 2 guys.
A lot of alpha dogs.
A lot of alpha dogs.
There's alpha dog hormone, testosterone rolling on that
ball
team.
Hogs,
AD might be the best natural talent, like natural talent for being a big guy who was brought up in a guard's body. And I think before it's all said and done, we'll be talking about LeBron on this show in our 5-year reunion, him being the best of all time. I mean, I really think this guy gets to 7 finals in 14 years, and this is a special transcendent player. This is a guy that's going to be in that argument between him and MJ forever, who's best. It's going to be a great barbershop talk.
If he goes, here's the thing. If they go 5, I'm not calling the best era because they ain't going to win the series. But if they can go 7, I think you still, even if they go 7 and lose, you got to consider him.
What if they win? We're trying to imply that might happen out here.
No, I got
but
you.
What if he pulls this one off?
If he pulls that one off, you have to. You have to say that this guy is arguably the greatest player that ever played, and you would have to put him up there with Jordan. Because you got to realize, you look at who Jordan had, and you look at the teams, the matchups, this is LeBron pretty much going against the Dubs. Now, they got some players. You got to have some other talent. You can't do it all alone. But you know what I'm saying. You don't have Love, okay. You got Tristan Thompson, hustle guy. The other guys around the team, J.R. Smith. I mean, it's not even close. what the Dubs have put together, but through the draft and their front office and the way they coach. If LeBron can pull this one off, you would have to. You'd have to, Dibs.
You don't tell me what I have to do, first of all.
You have to, Dibs.
Put that finger down, the crooked finger. Don't you point that thing at me, Lo Neal. And let's go ahead and put a pin in your little LeBron argument. Don't look at it, Kerry. It's like Medusa. You look at that crooked finger, you turn to stone. Thank you. 888-957-9570. If you could fill out the Warriors, and we'll take Zaza off this because for now he's not on the All-NBA team. Which fifth player would you take to play alongside the four Warrior All-Stars to take on the All-NBA team? Again, the All-NBA team is LeBron, Kawhi, Anthony Davis, James Harden, and Russell Westbrook. Draymond Green had some comments when the All-NBA teams were released yesterday talking about Klay Thompson, who was left off of the first, second, and third All-NBA teams. This is what Draymond had to say.
Yeah, I think it's, you know, when you look around team, what, we won 67 games or something like that, and we probably just handed teams three or four, talking a possible 70-win season. You know, I think Klay is one of our top three guys. You know, and to not be on an All-NBA team, I think it's pretty crazy.
Agreed, and it's, Kerry, really, if you look at the list, it's due largely to the fact that they have centers. Three centers make these three All-NBA teams. Maybe we should go to a positionless reward.
Well, I chose Karl-Anthony Towns, given the fact that the criteria is still two guards, two forwards, and a center. However, the guy to really put on the team is Giannis. And we have our resident Greek expert here. And the pronunciation again?
Giannis Antetokounmpo.
See, earlier in my radio career as a Warriors warm-up co-host, nice. I had people complaining about my Serbian pronunciations of Nurkic and Jokic. And I didn't want to mess up Giannis, so I stuck with Giannis. But now that I know the correct pronunciation, I'll be ready for next year when
attaboy.
The Bucks come to town. But I put Giannis.
Let's hear it, coach. Let's hear
it. Antetokounmpo.
There you go.
That's very good.
Antetokounmpo.
I've been to Acapulco.
You've been sitting on that one for weeks. Appreciate that, Lo.
Just came to me right now.
Delivered
True.
Some high-quality material.
Oh,
True friend. Tim Bontemps is going to join us next. He covers the Warriors for the Washington Post as we continue to get into this Warriors and Spurs series. 888-957-9570. If you want to be a part of the conversation, Joe Fortenbaugh's off today. Kerry Keating is in. It's Jolo and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
Zaza Pachulia.
Now back to Joe, Lo, and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
Sean Livingston joining us here on 95.7 The Game. Sean, what's good in Texas right now? Good morning.
Oh, good morning. Just getting settled in. It's actually nice where we're at. Always warm, always hot down here. But getting settled in, getting ready for tomorrow.
Beautiful. And how do you go from playing a game on a Tuesday to having 3 days off? How do you stay fresh? How do you stay locked in for game three that still is more than 24 hours away?
Yeah, mentally. I mean, it's more of a mental preparation, going over film, looking to see what we can do better, what adjustments they're going to make come game three. But the rest is also good for us, a couple days off. You know, the bangs and bruises, you heal up and get ready to go.
Sean, you guys are on a tear. You guys are playing good, staying together. How big it is to pack your defense with you on the road? And what's the biggest difference, the biggest transition playing on the road compared to home?
Just managing, managing the crowd, managing the runs. In the game, it's a game of runs, and when you're on the road, there's so many other factors that come into play. Sometimes, the opposing crowd is so loud when they're going on the runs, you can't even hear your teammates. You can't even hear the play, And so it's important, that's where the experience comes in. That's where the communication comes in. The leadership that we have, amongst each other, holding each other accountable. All those little details come into play on the road because, it's hard to get a win on the road in the playoffs.
Sean, Kerry Keating here. I co-host the pregame radio show before all your guys' games. I've had a chance to really grow a greater appreciation for you. I haven't seen you in high school when I was recruiting back in the day in the early 2000s at Tennessee and UCLA, and I've really gotten a chance to appreciate you even more and your comeback and your longevity. What I would like you to shed some light on, because I thought the game one obvious answer was KD and Steph, Kyron, you guys. But I look at the 8 points that you provided off the elbow split and the lefty dunk and then the big tip out that led to the tied up three that Steph hit. And then Ian's three having sat on the bench for three quarters and the big three hitting the fourth. Those 8 points really the biggest difference for me as a coach's eye. What I'd like you to shed some light on is the bench mentality, staying ready, staying available. How difficult is it at this level, and even for you this late in your career, to sit and watch the game flow and then get yourself into that right away and make such an impact like you do?
Yeah, I mean, it's tough. And you look at Ian's situation, coming in, sitting three quarters, you know, and you come in, your first shot, you line up at three. You know, it takes a lot of confidence in your game. And coaches, they do a great job as well of communication. I think that's the key, you know, communicating with your players on their roles so they can understand, you know, what you expect from them. You know, I know sometimes, you know, it changes game to game, right? And matchups can change the whole scenario of a game and, you know, whether how much you play. Usually our core guys, starters, they're going to play the bulk of the minutes, but in the playoffs, you know, it takes everybody. And Steve, you know, Coach Kerr has never been shy to play, you know, a lot of guys in the rotation in the playoffs. You know, throw a guy in, you know, 10th, 11th, 12th guy. You know, so it takes a unit, and everybody has to stay ready, and it's a mentality. You know, when your number's called, you never know what's going to happen. You got to stay ready. So we all prepare ourselves that way in practice before the game. And then so once the game starts and once we're called, you know, we're ready to go.
Warrior guard Sean Livingston joining us here on 95.7 The Game. Tickets for all Warriors home playoff games are now on sale at warriors.com. Sean, is part of that bench mentality as a veteran, yourself and Andre Iguodala in particular, David West as well, is it helping the young guys like Patrick McCaw and Kevon Looney when he's healthy, Damian Jones, helping to teach them about what it's like to be a contributing bench member?
I think so. Just anytime you have veteran leadership on a team and you have guys that are, you know, willing to put the work in, you have guys that are proven in this league, that have been around and has had success in this league, you know, and then you have guys like that coming off the bench as well. You know, again, their mentality. You know, watching Andre and David, the way that they go to work, the way that they prepare themselves to play. It doesn't just start, you know, they don't just get in the game. And, you know, it starts in practice. It starts before practice. You know, guys are in the weight room. They're lifting. They're taking care of their bodies. They're getting treatment. You know, they're getting extra shots in. You know, that again, that mentality is important for a young player coming in this league that's really trying to reach his potential. And, you know, when you have that guidance, when you have that to, you know, that model to follow, I think it makes it easier to really fall in line.
Sean, I can tell you're a leader. I was at the game and watch you guys go through that motorboat when you motorboat them. But there was a play right before the halftime. Saw McCall kind of head down, came to the bench, and he kind of sought you out and he sat next to you and saw him whisper, but just seemed kind of like encouraging. Is those one of those moments that, you know, that you too become a teacher?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, just any time, you know, like we encourage that. We encourage communication, you know, regardless of, you know, what's going on the floor. When you come to the bench, I mean, you know, I want to know what you see. You know, because, again, what's so important is out there when, you know, it's a five-man unit, you know, the players are, you know, the coaches say this all the time, you know, the players have to be in unison. You know, coach, they can only see so much, right, from the bench, and they can try to make the right calls, the right, you know, right play calls, pull the right strings. But,
sure,
you know, when you're out there on, you know, on the field or on the court, you know, you guys have to be in unison. And it's that communication that really is the key to getting that done.
How important is it for you guys to have Steve Kerr present in San Antonio, whether or not he'll be on the bench yet to be determined for tomorrow night's game, but just having him around in the locker room at halftime? This is not to disparage Mike Brown, who's done a terrific job, but how important is it for Steve Kerr to just be around you guys during these games?
Yeah. Now Mike's done a great job. You know, he's really, you know, filled in and done well. You know, but having Steve around, you know, it's great, honestly, for me. You know, this time of year, this is where his value and his presence, you know, really goes up. And it's because of the experience that he's had as a player and a coach. And I said this before. I mean, you have a guy that's won four championships as a player, one as a coach, played with some of the greatest players, played in some of the most, you know, the greatest pressure situations, you know, on each level. And it's to have his voice, it's a calming, I think it's a calming experience for us. You know, when he speaks, you know, we all listen as players because we know he knows what he's talking about. He's been there, he's done it, and it's just great to have his presence and his personality around. So, you know, we definitely enjoy that.
Well, hopefully you guys can handle your business, get it done in San Antonio, and earn yourself a nice 8-day break heading into the NBA Finals. Sean, thanks for joining us this morning, and good luck in Game 3.
All right, thanks, fellas. Appreciate it.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.